Blog Talk Radio.
This is Entertainment Life on the Sasha Marina Show, a show about the entertainment and music industry, where you get to hear from the top and up-and-coming stars, from amateurs to professionals. They're all just working hard for success. This show is to give those the opportunity to speak about their talents and what they're doing to succeed in their dreams. And now, here's your host, Sasha Marina.
If my brother can put that down, oh. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm your host, Sasha Marina, and today is Best Movie with Robert Alfonso Hidalgo. What's up, bro?
Hi. Sorry. I still had myself, like, muted.
Can you hear me, or are you muted?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So how's it going? Happy Labor Day.
What was that?
Happy Labor Day. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Happy Labor Day to you, too.
Okay, so what's going on in your end of the world?
Well, I guess the first thing I should talk about since last week we didn't have our show was that Lord Richard Attenborough had passed away at the age of 90. Richard Attenborough, some of you didn't know, probably you'll remember him from Jurassic Park. He played Hammond, the guy who pretty much created Jurassic Park in the movie.
Cool beans.
Yeah, he had
well,
just passed, well, he passed away. Yeah, he passed away at 90 years old.
Wow.
He's at over, like, 70
what,
years.
What was it called?
I don't know, man. He's 90 years old. You die at that age.
Just that he's 90 years old? Yeah.
Yeah, he had suffered a stroke back in 2008, and I guess he'd just been dealing with that, and he'd been living in a nursing home and stuff since that time.
That's a little pretty, well, as long as it wasn't painful. That was a long life.
Yeah, 70 years of working in film, you know?
That's a lot of years, man.
That's a lot of time. Oh, may you rest in peace.
So was he involved in any way with this new reboot of the Jurassic Park, or no?
Well, not reboot, sequel, and no.
Okay.
He wasn't.
All right. Well, they'll probably honor him. And so. Yeah.
So
what's after that?
Well, next bit of news is really worth talking about, but I'm going to do it anyways. Batman versus Superman has been having a lot of set photos lately, and one of them was just a tweet from Henry Cavill himself, and it's just a bunch of pictures of him on set, one that seemed to be a Jesse Eisenberg, but you can't tell if he's bald or not because he has a blanket over his head. So he said something that...
And what character does Jesse Eisenberg play?
He's playing the villain, Lex Luthor.
Okay.
And because the villain is... that Lex Luthor is usually bald, that's why I'm mentioning that.
Yeah.
So anyways... This was tweeted the 31st of August, and in the tweet he said if the set candidates that they promised, look for them on Tuesday. So tomorrow they're probably going to tweet or release some more set photos that are probably going to be better than the ones that have come out so far. So that's something to look forward to tomorrow if anybody was wondering about that.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. So next bit is... Joaquin Phoenix, because he's been in the news lately talking about Doctor Strange, which is a Marvel property, a comic book, and it's one of the next movies that seem to be, you know, coming up after, like, Captain America and all that stuff. So he's been, you know, rumored for a while, and apparently it seems that he's in final negotiations, like he's in final talks with becoming, you know, Doctor Strange. Which is pretty cool, and the weird thing is that recently there have been a rumor that Jack Houston, who's in Boardwalk Empire, was being rumored to play Doctor Strange, which is kind of weird if he's in final negotiations or final talks. that rumor just popped out of nowhere. Again, it's a rumor, so it's probably not real, but rumors don't come out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood has their science, and at the end of the day, nothing is really, you know, the rumors are there for a reason. It's probably, I'm sure that, I mean, I could see him playing whatever it is. He's a good guy, good actor.
Yeah. So anyways, more Marvel news. So Guardians of the Galaxy has the highest grossing domestic release of 2014. Domestic releases mean within the U.S. So this is not including the money they've made worldwide. Within the U.S., this year alone, they've made $262,142,000. And that beat Captain America from this year. So Captain America, you know, before this one had the highest domestic gross of all year, but now Guardians of the Galaxy does, and it's probably going to reach 300 million.
Well, I yet have to go see it. I've heard a lot of good reviews about it, so I still need to go.
Yeah, it was
a
really
good
movie.
Tell us your opinion, because you saw it twice.
Yeah, the movie was really good. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but a lot of people who didn't like it just didn't like it because it was so famous. It was so successful. That's what happens a lot of the time. But I can understand why a lot of people also would not enjoy it too. There was probably the few complaints I had. There was a few jokes here and there. They were pretty stupid and lame. But most of the movie was pretty enjoyable. And the only complaint I've heard about the movie was that it was an origin story. That it was just an origin story of how they were created. And for some reason, a lot of people don't like origin stories. For me, I don't care. I enjoy it. And on top of that, with a property like Guardians of the Galaxy that nobody knows what the hell they are, even people who read comics barely know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are. So imagine trying to sell this to, you know, your average moviegoer. So I was fine with it being, you know, an origin story. But besides that, the movie just was great all around. It was just a very entertaining summer blockbuster. And probably one of my favorite, you know, Marvel movies in a while. Probably since The Avengers, because there's been tons of Marvel movies that haven't been really that enjoyable, but I think this is probably up there with one of the top five. And I'm including Marvel, like, you know, the Fox-owned Marvel movies, like X-Men and everything. So this year is a pretty good year with movies so far. It's had some crap, but, yeah.
I think that a lot of people, besides not knowing, like, what the story's about, like, I think they confuse the movie for being something like, how can I say, like, too kiddish, I guess because of the colors and the way that the movie's presented. So a lot of people, like, for instance, Jess, he thinks that he won't like the movie just because it looks like it, you know, it looks all science fiction-like and... I mean, it depends.
And why wouldn't you like it if it's all science fiction? Because that's exactly what every superhero movie that's come out in these past few years have been like.
Yeah.
You know, save for, The Winter Soldier. Captain America, The Winter Soldier was probably, at least from the Marvel movies, the least sci-fi out of all the Marvel movies that have been released. You know, it was more like this very elaborate spy movie. About spy thriller of some kind. It was not really a Marvel movie, but that was still good either way. And that's kind of the funny thing is that a lot of these movies, both the Marvel movies that come out this year, have not felt like Marvel movies. They felt very different from the usual Marvel movie formula, and maybe that's the reason why they've been so critically, you know, acclaimed.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, moving on then. Some more Marvel news, but not really like, big news. It's just recently when Ben Kingsley, who played, this is spoilers for Iron Man 3, if anybody has ever seen it, has not seen it. Ben Kingsley played the Mandarin, who, spoiler, turned out to be Trevor Slattery, who was an actor impersonating this fake character called the Mandarin. But when I think it was the DVD release of The Dark World, there was a short film on it called All Hail the King, and it was about Trevor Slattery in jail, and he got visited by the whole organization or the group of people that follow the Mandarin. And Mandarin turned out to be a real person. And recently in an interview, he said something for his movie he's doing, The Box Trolls. He said something kind of funny that would not be a bad idea, you know, to try and save the whole idea. Was he said that has the Mandarin invented Trevor, or has Trevor invented the Mandarin? So he's trying to say is that probably the Mandarin himself created Trevor, you know, as a mask. He says this all in his quote.
As a decoy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he created him as something to hide behind. So, in fact, Trevor Slattery is the Mandarin, but he's just using the actor, the fake actor, as a facade. So that's
pretty cool,
pretty cool thing. That's just saying that Ben Kingsley probably wants to come back and play the Mandarin again. He just wants to look for a reason for it. And
you know,
I would not have a problem with that.
And so what? Is he going to be part of the Avengers as well?
Oh, I doubt it. He's an Iron Man villain.
He's just going to stay as, like, in the Iron Man series? He's not going to join?
Nobody knows
anything.
This was just an interview. There's really nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so this is just all your hypothesis.
No.
Okay.
This is him talking.
No?
This is the actor Ben Kingsley talking in an interview.
Floating.
About the character. And how they could bring him back to the Marvel, you know, movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he probably is coming back somehow.
Hopefully. Looks like he wants to. Well, anyways, next bit of news, Marvel again. Captain America 3. So Captain America 3 is going to be shooting next year, April of next year in Atlanta. But this is about Jeremy Renner, who was recently talking in an interview that that there were some sort of rumblings of him being in Captain America 3, but he really doesn't know what's happening there. So if some of you were like me wondering where the hell Hawkeye was in Captain America 2, this would probably be a great idea, because Hawkeye is a great, you know, Avenger and superhero. He's really awesome, but we haven't really seen the most awesome parts of him on the screen yet. Like, he's pretty much a joke right now in the movies. Nobody even cares about him at all. Everyone says he's the worst Avenger. So hopefully he'll have more screen time in Age of Ultron, and then he'll show up in Captain America 3, because he should have been in the second one.
Okay. Well, I had to ask you, have you seen your practice commercial on air lately?
No.
No? Well, I heard a couple people that saw you, so I'm wondering where they're airing it.
Probably MTV or something.
MTV, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, check out Robert's practice, little thing.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Cool. Yeah. But why not? I always used to see, like, those practice commercials, and I'll be like, where did he get these people? And then, voila, now you're in one. That's pretty cool. So, any new news, anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. It's Star Wars Episode 7 has begun filming again with Harrison Ford back to work and everything. So I guess that's back on track. Yeah.
He's healthy once again?
Yeah, probably. Maybe he still has a limp. I don't know. But
that's
he's back. Yeah.
And time flies. I remember when you just said this some months ago.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And Martin Scorsese, director of Wolf of Wall Street and, you know, The Goodfellas, all that stuff. Apparently he's developing a Ramones biopic. Ramones, the punk band from, like, 1980s,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making a movie, a biopic based on them. The last surviving member of the Ramones, Tony Ramone, had passed away at 65, I think, not too long ago, maybe this year, I don't remember. But none of the Ramones are alive now, so I guess he's doing a movie now. There's going to be a biopic based on the Ramones.
Okay.
So it'll be cool to see, you know.
And he's the only, like, I guess, main star, I should say. Is there any other supporting cast that you know that's going to be playing the role?
No, it's just, there's nothing. It's just being developed.
Just him. Oh, it's being developed.
There's probably not even a, there's probably not even a script yet.
Just rumors. Okay.
No, it's not rumors. It's just announced that he's working on the movie.
Cool.
Yep, that's about it. And the next two are Fantastic Four news. One of them is most likely fake, but probably real. So, anyways, there were set photos for Fantastic Four just came out. They were leaked. And one of them, this is from actually last week, one of them from The Thing, from the Fantastic Four, and it was just like this look, this like bust of The Thing, which is just from neck up and everything. And it was all in this like sort of green screen box. And it showed off, like, you know, the look. But apparently the Twitter account that tweeted this, which claimed to be Josh Trank, the director, has said that it's fake, you know, that it's no longer, that it's not real. But it's a fake account. But they haven't said anything about the pictures, just that the account they're using is fake. Interesting. Next bit is Doctor Doom, an actual costume. Like, it was a leaked photo of a picture of Doctor Doom in costume, in green screen. And that's the weird thing about this, is that we haven't seen any photos at all that haven't been any set photos. That means they've been shooting either in sound stages and in green screen the whole movie. Either that,
okay,
or they're doing a great job at keeping the production under wraps. But besides that, that's pretty. That tells you something, because if this whole movie is going to be green screen, is it going to take something away from this movie? Is it going to feel terrible? Because so far, if it's only going to be green screen, if that's the only leaked photos have come out, then that doesn't sound, you know, too reassuring. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, and hopefully it's good, but it doesn't sound like it's going, you know, the right way. So next bit of news is something that doesn't even count, because Harry Potter, the spinoff that's coming out, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, is being directed by the same guy who's just directed the last four Harry Potter movies, David Yates.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm not saying it's something to, like, celebrate, because that's like getting George Lucas to direct another Star Wars movie. It's like, oh, okay, it's just George Lucas. Like, who else is going to direct it? You know? It's not really such a big deal. He's directed the last four movies. Of course he's going to direct this one then. It would have been more surprising if they would have gotten somebody like Alfonso Cuarón, you know, to come back and direct it. He directed, you know, the third Harry Potter movie, which is the best Harry Potter movie out of all of them, but also the one who made the least amount of money. So,
well,
yeah.
I think that the thing we don't have to look forward to, just being the same director, is that there's going to be, like, this should take, like, a brand new, fresh person, because it's a different idea. What if, like, you know, I feel like if he's going to direct this, we might as well just look at the old Harry Potters, you get me? Like, what other point of view is he going to give us from the story? So,
story-wise, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very different from Harry Potter, but I'm sure the whole mood and tone of the movie is still going to be exactly the same as Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Because of the director, but I don't know if that will necessarily be a bad thing, because he did a great job at making the last four Harry Potters, you know, these dark yet entertaining tales of, you know, the Harry Potter universe. And it didn't, you know, stay all childish like the last few, like the first two movies, you know? So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not really surprising that he's directing it. That's my only problem here, is that I was expecting something, you know, some director nobody would have thought of. Would have been cool, but I don't know. I guess that's a problem.
knowing up and coming or new cinematographers or directors, whatever, who would you think would be a good person to try out as a director
for Harry Potter? The next Harry Potter movies?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know.
Who would you recommend? You don't know?
I'm trying to think, but I can't really see. Maybe, you know, I'd probably like to see somebody like Edgar Wright direct a Harry Potter movie. Edgar Wright from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and Hot Fuzz, all those movies. I would like to see him take, you know, take a shot at a Harry Potter movie because it's so very different from what he's ever done. It's at least the last movies have established a sort of this dark and, you know, not too much comedic relief, but it's there, but it's not like his previous movies that have all been, you know, really funny and action oriented. And it'd be really cool to see him, how he would take on something like Harry Potter. Not necessarily the right choice. You know, I'm just saying it'd be cool as an experiment to see what he would do. But like I mentioned before, Alfonso Cuarón by far would be the next best thing. If they're not going to choose, you know, David Yates, it would definitely be Alfonso Cuarón. Because it'd be really cool to see him, you know, just not do Harry Potter, but be in the same universe. Because probably for the third movie, his style of directing and the cinematographer that he always works with was probably not the best choice for Harry Potter specifically, but it doesn't mean it wouldn't be a good choice for a movie within the Harry Potter universe.
Well, I just think it'd be interesting to see somebody else's point of view.
Yeah.
Different style. Well, that's a nice bit of news.
Yeah.
I wanted
to talk about something I've been recently hearing about that might actually happen, is that Comic-Con might actually leave San Diego come 2016.
Really? What would be their city of choice then?
I don't know. There's nothing that hasn't been mentioned, but it's just that there's rumors that this might be, that 2015 might be the last year of, you know, Comic-Con in San Diego. Maybe they might move it somewhere like into Los Angeles and use the convention center they use for E3 there.
Well, that'd be
Well, that'd be a cool thing to do, but it would be kind of weird because E3 and Comic-Con happen so close to each other, and I think they kind of overlap. I'm not too sure. That it'd be really weird and hard to set that up. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it's
up
the city. You know, it's helped establish that event in particular. I mean,
yeah, nobody
think,
cares about San Diego at all.
Yeah,
the only thing they think about is the zoo and Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like nobody knows anything else about San Diego.
Yeah, but
it's gonna be kind of weird if that would happen.
Or maybe it's not leaving San Diego. Maybe it's just gonna do it in one more event in another city because they have
I think they have something like that in New York. Yeah, they have
New York.
San Diego, New York, and I think they even have some in Atlanta. I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
but
they might.
No, they do that every year, but I'm saying the Comic-Con International, pretty much the big Comic-Con, the one that everyone knows about and, like, you know, goes to, which is located in San Diego, might not be, you know, happening there anymore. It's kind of weird for that not to be, you know, the heart of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a change, you know, but I don't know. Not such a big problem, I guess. Because it doesn't matter where it's at. Not really. Yeah, it doesn't really matter where it's at. It's going to still be Comic-Con.
Conveniently in Los Angeles, so that'd be better.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
good. I mean, I don't really stop anybody. It just has a chance for more people to go.
Yeah. Oh, so something I want to talk about, and I usually don't like talking about these things on the shows, but there has been a massive, like, photo leak coming from iCloud, and it was with a bunch of celebrities and a bunch of just anybody who has taken pictures, and the photos have been automatically uploaded to Apple's iCloud. So this includes nude photos from, like, celebrities and stuff. Not really going to name who, but it was a pretty big thing. It was, like, just surprising.
Yeah, I heard. Today I seen an article scrolling down my timeline or whatever, and I seen something that said Jennifer Lawrence and another girl, I forget her name. And then it says, nude leaks or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, how would that happen? And
yeah,
now,
I don't.
Now
it's kind of weird too, and it seems like
right?
Apple's going to be in deep shit.
Yeah, because
they're going to be really
Jennifer
screwed
Lawrence,
over for
like,
something like that.
Yeah,
it's not only Jennifer
imagine,
Lawrence.
It's a lot.
Pretty much most anybody who's ever uploaded anything to the iCloud. You know, I've always never really liked uploading stuff to clouds because it's not real. I never found it as convenient as just having it on your phone or an SD card.
You're kind of forced to do that in certain things. Like Google, like, makes you in every which way. Like everything that you upload to the drive, technically it's already on the cloud. And you can't help it because you need it to send out the email. You get me?
Yeah, but there's ways to turn that off, but it's just not everyone does that because nobody even knows about the iCloud. Nobody even cares that that's what it's doing. So it kind of sucks. That's what's happening now, you know?
That's equal security breach, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it is celebrities, but that's telling you that having a cloud, it's not such a good idea, you know? And especially it's gonna make Apple have to redo their whole cloud system completely after something like that, because I heard that it wasn't even that hard for what the guy who hacked it. He technically didn't even hack it. Apparently, it was just that easy for him to do that.
Okay, that's strange.
That's kind of bad for Apple, you know. I mean, I really don't care about Apple, but I just know they're going to be in deep crap then. So, anyways, still have a few more things to talk about. This is actually about Kick-Ass 3, and it's not anything, you know, saying that it's going to happen. It's recently in an interview with Chloe Moritz. She was for the movie If I Stay. She was asked about Kick-Ass 3, and she thinks that she's done with the character because she's saying that Kick-Ass 3 is dead because of film piracy, because there was so much piracy around Kick-Ass 2 that it didn't make nearly enough money, apparently, to warrant a third movie. And she may be saying the piracy is the problem, but I think the movie itself was a problem. It was bad. It was such a very bad movie. It was not. It was like if they were making fun of the first Kick-Ass movie. Like, Kick-Ass had this, the first movie at least had this sort of, dark underlying comedy to it, but then there was also very dark moments in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And that seems like something, Kick-Ass 2 just seemed like something they were just making fun of how Kick-Ass 1 was. It was like a parody of Kick-Ass 1, essentially. And I didn't like it because of that. It wasn't good at all. I mean, a lot, besides, you know, the usual things that they didn't, you know, put from the comics. I mean, Kick-Ass 1 was loosely adapted from the comics. There was a lot of things that were in the comic books that weren't in the movies, and I understood why it wasn't there, but I highly doubt that it was piracy that killed Kick-Ass 3. Probably the fact that Kick-Ass 2 was just terrible.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, piracy doesn't just, like, you know, it affects not only that movie, it affects all movies. So you can't blame it on that one bit of detail there.
But I mean, it wasn't really, like I said, good movie. Could have been way better. Anyways, got to start wrapping up then.
Okie dokie. So tell people where they can find you and keep up with you.
So, yep, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, at The Real Robert AH. You can go on Facebook, look up our pages. That's the movie and the Sasha Marina Show. And on Instagram, you can follow me at Robert Alfonso Hidalgo. And you guys can go on YouTube, search up more of That's the Movie stuff, or go to thesashamarinashow.com. And there you can find more articles and stuff from Sasha and stuff from me, and as well as, previous recordings and stuff for these Monday podcast things. Yeah.
Exactly. Or you could also keep up with Robert's podcast as well. It's an easier way. You can download our app on Google Play or BlackBerry World, the Sasha Marina Show, and it has a little podcast tab in which you pretty much syncs in the archives, all of our interviews, all of our segments, and it's, you know, hands-on. Pretty cool. So thank you so much for your details there, bro. And looking forward to hear from you next Monday.
All righty then.
Also, are you going to see any early screenings that you know of as of yet?
As of the moment, no. No, I do not have anything. I'll probably try
I'm going to butt in, but I just saw The November Man on a drive-in.
You've been watching, like, screenings left and right more than I have. I'm the one who actually has to do this, and you're, like, watching more screenings than I am. I'm like,
well,
I can't even get in my
head. They're being very easy to get here in Miami, but some of them, I'm not going to lie, I do apply for a lot that I never get.
Yeah, I know, me too.
but what was I going to say? I went to the drive-in for my first time. So it was like a drive-in theater outside, whatever you guys want to talk about. And we saw The November Man. It was very good. I liked it. Pierce Brosnan did a good job.
That's pretty cool, then.
Alrighty,
I thought he was done with movies.
Alrighty.
But then he just
came
out with his movie. Yep.
Okay. So thank you. And thank you guys for tuning in. And just keep up with us at the SashaMarinaShow.com. Bye-bye.
Bye.